do three, the Lord willing, this morning. We're going to take the next three. Let me just remind you of the ones that we did last week, beginning in Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. All right, we're going to start with verse 7 today. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, as we are talking today about attitudes of life, the attitudes that You have shown us are required for the kingdom living. And we know that Your kingdom is yet to come to this whole earth. But God, we're here to thank You today that Your kingdom has already come to us. And Lord, we're asking You now to talk to us very plainly, very clearly. Let us hear God from heaven today as we study Your Word. And change us, O God. Let us not be hearers only, but doers of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, the Beatitudes are words that we know so well that I'm afraid we sometimes miss the tremendous meaning, and especially of this one. And so I would like to start this study for the fifth Beatitude by having you turn with me to the book of Judges. Turn with me to the book of Judges, and we're going to show you a biblical illustration. Judges, the first chapter of Judges. That's right after Joshua. The first five books are the Pentateuch. And then Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. It's actually the sixth book in the Bible. Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1 and verse 6. Then Adonai Bezek. Now, that's probably not the most familiar name that you have in the Bible. Adonai Bezek. In Bezek. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and big toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather their food under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. Look up here. This is a man you need to get to know. Adonai Bezek was a strange fellow. His hobby was getting kings, cutting off their thumbs and their big toes, putting them under his table and feeding them like dogs. He did that to 70 kings. That's what it says. Then they caught him. And what did they do to him? Come on, what did they do to him? They cut off his thumbs and his big toes, and they made him like a dog. How come? Payback. The Bible teaches about payback. The beatitude that we have before us today says, let's go back and look at it again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is God saying? Come on, give me the implication here. Who is not going to get mercy? The merciless. You are going to get from others what you give to others. Not maybe the same people, but God will see to it that he comes back. That's what he's saying. Now, it's really important to understand. Life, every one of our lives, is actually just a living out of a plan. Can you ever get it over on God? Come on, can you? Are you sure? Have you ever tried? We all have tried. He's pretty smart. See, he knows our motives. He knows our thoughts. He knows, the Bible says, our intent. That means what we really meant when we did that. The intent. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. This is a very important beatitude. Galatians chapter 6. I love it that many of you are using notebooks. It thrills me because you're taking notes that you can use later in the week, and that is so good. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Do not be deceived. Now, when God says that, it's because he is concerned that you might be, that there is an endeavor to do that. And hear me today, there is an endeavor to do that, to deceive all of us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, that is a very well-known passage. But believe me, we don't know it like we should. What I sow, I reap. Say it with me. Come on. What I sow, I reap. That's what God says. Now read on here. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How do you sow to the flesh? Things of the world. There's so many ways. How do you sow to the flesh? When we say sow, what are we talking about? S-O-W. Planting seeds. That's what he's talking about. Sowing is planting. That's not S-E-W. Sowing seed. It's putting seed in. How do we put seed in our life? Choices. That's a good word. Choices. 10,000 every day. What you see. What you choose to look at. What you choose to read. What you choose to watch. What you choose to think about. Where you choose to go. Who you choose to be with. There's the word that I've thrown out so many times, but it's probably the best way of saying it. It's... No, it just left me. The word that they use in the 12-step program. People, places, and things. That's it. People, places, and things. Those are your sowing. People, places, and things. You are sowing into your life with every choice you make. Sometimes it's a casual glance. You know you shouldn't look at it. You look once and then you look again. A thought. I had a man talk with me recently who said, Pastor, it seems like now that I've tried to give my life completely to the Lord, I am having more problems with my thoughts than I ever had before. I have terrible thoughts coming into my mind. He said, what? That must be that my heart is still so evil. And I said to him, remember, all the thoughts that come into your mind do not come from your heart. Satan has access to our minds. Just like thieves have access to your front door. But Satan can't do any more than a thief can who comes to your front door. Someone comes and knocks at your front door. You know that it's someone that shouldn't be in your house. You say to them, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And you close the door. And they have to leave or get under arrest. Sometimes we see the wrong people knocking at our thought door, and because our flesh wants that thought, we say, come on in and sit down in my living room. And we entertain them. The moment you invite them in, you are responsible. God isn't. He gave you the power of choice. Don't invite every thought in that knocks at your door. Recognize that many of them are from Satan to take you off the track and to rob you of your spiritual life. Here's what he says. If you sow to your flesh, you will of your flesh reap what? Come on, what? Corrupt. What's that? What's corruption? It's rot. That's what it is. It's rot. It's putrefaction. It stinks. And if you invite into your thought living room evil thoughts, you will of your flesh reap corruption. Because, folks, your flesh is no good and neither is mine. There was nobody born with good flesh. How you like that? Is that all right? It's true. Flesh is no good. But if you sow to the Spirit, how do you sow to the Spirit? The Word of God. That's what we're doing in encouraging you to read your Bible through this year. You're sowing to the Spirit. When you pray, you're sowing to the Spirit. When you talk to someone about Jesus, you're sowing to the Spirit. When you worship the Lord, you're sowing to the Spirit. All those wonderful things. All right. Now, the passage that's before us, blessed are the merciful. Before I read you the next scripture, look up here, I'm going to ask you a question. I want nobody to answer this question out loud. This is one for just you in your heart. I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself when I give you this question. Do you think that you are a merciful person? Don't answer that, please. Are you a merciful person? When you see something that's wrong, do you try to look with mercy to make it right, or are you quick to pass judgment and make it wrong? All right, turn with me now. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'll give you the scripture for you that are taking notes, but we won't turn. Matthew 18, 23 and following. That's this parable. Let me tell you the parable. There was a man who owed another man $2 million. The man said, come, it's time for you to pay up. And the man said, I don't have a thing. Would you please forgive my debt? And the man said, well, why should I? He said, well, I have children and a family, and I don't have anything with which to pay you. And the man said, I forgive your debt. Now, that man that just got forgiven of $2 million had a man who owed him $2. He met him on the street as he was leaving that man, and he said, pay me the $2 you owe me. And the man said, I don't have anything. And the man said, you pay me or I'll have you thrown in jail and you'll stay until it's paid. And the man said, but I don't have a thing. He called the authorities and had the man thrown in jail. And word got back to the man that he owed $2 million to. And that man said, oh, really? I forgave you of $2 million? You can't forgive $2? You'll go in jail until you've paid the last farthing. Jesus told that story. And what he meant was, come on, let someone on the congregation tell me, what did he mean by that story? Come on, somebody tell me. Come on, but what did he really mean? If God was willing to forgive all my sin, how do I have the gall to not forgive someone who sins against me? Now, you have turn back to your Beatitudes chapter. I want to show you a scripture here. Just turn the page then. You have Matthew chapter 6. Just turn the page. Matthew 6. And I want you to carefully consider the words that Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer. Verse 12. 6:12. Jesus said we should pray, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Listen, folks, look up here. Are you able to pray that prayer? He said, I want you to pray, Lord, please you forgive me just the way I forgive others. Do you pray that? Some of you are honestly shaking your head no. How come we wouldn't pray that? That's like when none of us ever pray, Lord, give me what I deserve. We don't pray that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Listen to me this morning. Some of you who depend the most on God's mercy are the least merciful to others. I shouldn't say some of you. I should say some of us. Because I have had the same thing to deal with in my own heart. But I want you to carefully look now. You have chapter 6 of Matthew. Look down at verse 14. It just follows the Lord's Prayer. These are the words that He says right after the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that is strong. Jesus is the one who said this. He said, if people do wrong to you and you won't forgive them, don't expect to meet God with your sins forgiven, because they won't be. Could it be any stronger than that? Come on, tell me. Could it be any stronger? Couldn't be any stronger, because what's He saying? He's saying, if your sins aren't forgiven, where are you going? Come on, if your sins aren't forgiven, where are you going? You're going to hell. And the whole reason that we're here this morning, or part of the reason at least, is we're not interested in going to hell. Believe me, folks, when that last minute comes, and it will, when that last minute comes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. For over a year, my dad was saying to me, every time I talked on the phone, he said, son, I want to tell you that I'm one day nearer home. That's what he said every time I talked. I'm one day nearer home. You know what? Today, he's home. He's home. I don't have any doubt that my dad's in heaven. Not any doubt at all. That's wonderful. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. My brother, my sister, let me tell you. I have been hearing things in recent days that trouble me so much from people who say they are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I haven't spoken to so-and-so for a year. Oh, you haven't? How come? Well, they did something that I just can't forgive? Oh, really? How can you be a child of God and not speak to somebody for a year because you're holding malice in your heart against them? Do you know what that says? That says that if you are even saved, you are an infant. You might be saved for 40 years. You're a 40-year-old baby. Come on now. How would you like to have a child 40 years old that you still carry around on your shoulder in diapers? Huh? 40 years old. Would that be pathetic? How do you think our Father feels? When He says, another mess. I mean, babies, babies, babies. What was the word God gave us last year for our church? It was maturing the saints. And some of us who think that we're grandpa in the family still are not speaking to other people. Holding unforgiveness. Pampering a hurt. Flesh. That's all it is. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Will you turn to one more scripture on this one? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I'll be very fortunate to do three at this rate. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Now hear this, saints of God, please. Who is this scripture written to that I'm going to read? Look up here for a minute. Who is this written to? Okay, us is a good word, but it's not very strong. Who is this written to? To me. Will you take it? And if it's tight, will you use a shoehorn, please? Get it on. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, that is a request. Please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do I do that, Lord? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that means loud quarreling, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. What's malice? Come on, what's malice? Somebody said hate. That's a good word. What? Spite. That's a stronger word. Doing spite. All right, he did that to me. This is what I'll do to him. With all malice. Now here's what the Lord's telling you to do. Verse 32. If you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. How much? How much should I forgive? Just as God in Christ forgave you. This one you can respond to me. How many of you, sometimes at least, have a problem forgiving others? Could I see? How many of you have a problem with that at least once in a while? Hold them up. Let me see. Is there anybody that never has a problem with that? Okay. I appreciate your honesty. God says, be kind to one another. That means not only the words you say, but how you say them. The tone of voice. Be kind. Did you know that there's people who just, it seems like, without trying, can sound angry? They sound angry all the time. Did you ever meet one of those? They sound like they're mad all the time. Even when they say nice things, they say it nasty. Be kind! Will you tell the person sitting next to you, be kind! Go ahead, tell them. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. What's that mean? Tender-hearted. Sweet, not hard-hearted. Some people seem like they can do anything, say anything, be anything, and never feel sorry. Glad I did it. Got that off my chest. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Jesus' sake forgave you, so you also shall do it. You know, folks, of all the Beatitudes, this one, I feel like, even having said all of this, like I could go on for the rest of the morning with this. Blessed are the merciful. Come on, let's say it together. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, God, let us understand and live that. How many of you know you need mercy from God? You know that you really need that. Okay. Then the only thing that you can do is to do what? Be merciful to others. Be merciful to others. That means give them what they don't deserve and love doing it. Did you hear me? How many people live by the rule? Well, I'll give you what you deserve. And that's it. Give them what they don't deserve and love doing it. You say, but I'll never get anything for it. Nobody will ever say thank you. Nobody will even recognize I did it. Good. Wonderful. Because then you're going to get reward from the Lord. If you get your praise on earth, what did Jesus say? if you get it down here, you won't have any there. So when you do things and nobody says thank you, get in a room somewhere alone and say, Lord, thank you. I did it that time and didn't get thanks. Hallelujah. I know I got one coming. Praise God. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. That's a good one. All right, let's go back to Matthew. We're going to go to the next one. Really, this one is a strong one too. Very strong one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Look up here. We've got to first of all get the record straight. How many of you know somebody that was born with a pure heart? How many of you know somebody that was born with a pure heart? Well, praise God, your theology's pretty good. There's nobody ever been born except Jesus with a pure heart. He's the only one. We have sneaky hearts. Deceitful hearts. The Bible says that. I'm not judging. The Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says. Blessed are the pure in heart. This covers a lot of ground. Turn with me to the 24th Psalm. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands. See, really, Marcia, your song could not have been more chosen by the Lord than it was. Who will ascend into God's holy hill? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, if we weren't born with pure hearts, how are we ever going to ascend to the hill of the Lord? Because it says only people that have a pure heart are going to go up to God's holy hill. How can we do it then? Come on, answer me, somebody. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cleansing, we are going to get a changed heart. Only changed hearts get into God's presence. Earthly, fleshly hearts can't get in. Only changed hearts. Now, having said that, let's talk about our hearts. Will you turn with me to Hebrews 12? Hebrews chapter 12. That's the discipline chapter. Good chapter. Hebrews 12. And again, I would like you to mark this verse so it jumps out when you get that to that page. Mark it in red or something. Hebrews 12. Verse 14. Pursue peace with who? With all men. Everybody read that out loud. Pursue peace. Come on. Pursue peace with all men. That means try to live peaceably with everybody on earth. Now notice it says pursue. What's that mean? Chase. Run after it, because it won't always be easy. Pursue peace with all men. Now, come on. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's why the songwriter that wrote the song that Marcia sang this morning was saying, what was the first line of that chorus? Lord, I hunger for your holiness. I hunger for your holiness. He had caught the vision that without holiness I won't see the Lord. I hunger that my heart will be filled with your holiness. That means replace me, because I'm not holy. That's why I have a very bad difficulty when people call me reverend. And when they call me that to my face, I say, I'm really not. I'm really not. I'm not reverend. He is reverend. I am a servant of God. I am privileged to be a pastor, as needy as I am. But he is reverent. Hallelujah. All right. Holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Did you know that Satan is out there every day to try to take holiness away from your life? He will do it through a person, place, or thing. He will rob you of your holy life through a person, a place, or a thing. All right, now let's think about this. We're at war. We're at war for a holy life. Go with me to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 6. I just want you to look at the warfare here. Now, before we read it, how many know that to live a holy life, you have to do warfare? How many know that? You have to do warfare to have a holy life. You do. You have to. How many love and feel like fighting every day? You feel like going to war. Every morning you wake up and say, "All right, let's go get them again. Let's go." You feel like that every morning. Huh? No, some mornings you say, "Man, I got..."